Now the message and workshop of Dr. David Otis Fuller, who is from the Wealthy Park Baptist Church, Pastor Emeritus, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dr. Fuller is the president of the Which Bible Society and a leader in our Dean Burgon Society. He is the vice president of our Dean Burgon Society, as he is here in First Baptist Church, Harrison, Michigan, July 16 and 17, 1986. Here is Dr. Fuller.
Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Out to you in that passage? Come on, hurry up.
It's written. It's written.
Why? Come on, tell me why.
Because it's
what? Now, that shows you what about Jesus Christ? This particular passage. What did it show you about him? Come on, let's have it. Right. Not only that, but going further. He quoted again and again and again all through the four Gospels. The Old Testament, didn't he? Did he ever cast a shadow of a doubt upon anyone that he ever quoted? No. If there had been error, he would have said so. He didn't. He was the epitome of truth. And is this statement true? All of the attributes that you can posit about God, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, full of mercy, infinite love, infinite wisdom. All of these and many others that you can name. Can you say that about Jesus Christ? Yes or no? Okay then. And he's God in human form. Almighty God in human form. If so, then he knows the end from the beginning. And he knew then, and let it be known by way of the way he spoke, that up until that time, God Almighty had kept his word intact and pure and without error. Am I right? Okay, then. Now, if God did it then, he'd do it the rest of the time for 2,000 years, can't he? Now, I'm going to talk about something which is very dangerous. All of us here want revival, I'm pretty sure. We need it. It's desperately needed. No matter the church you mention now, whoever it may be, how spiritual they may be, they need a revival. So do I. So do you. So do all of us. Now, that being the case, are you willing to pay the price? As far as I know, and if you can prove that I'm wrong, tell me so, please. No revival has ever begun with any other version but the King James. Have you ever heard of one? Now, before the King James, those revivals that did take place took place from the manuscripts that were based, that the King James Version was based upon, I believe. If that's the case, then we need to realize that revival is only going to come through the King James Version. But are you prepared to face the risk and the danger involved in it? I've told others, and I'm going to tell you again. I got a letter from a person out east. I don't know who he was, and I forgot it. And he said he had it on good authority. You don't quote me on this because I haven't got the evidence, but you can quote me that I quoted this person. He had it on good authority that Congress has a bill ready to be passed that will outlaw the King James Version. You say that's impossible. Nothing's impossible these days. The devil knows his time is short, and he's doing his level best to raise unshirted hell wherever he can, Christians, non-Christians. And you and I need to meet him head on. And the only way we can meet him is with this book. And we need to realize that only through the old King James Version of the Bible will real revival come. Let's go to Scripture for that. You remember when Peter was rebuking the Lord? Because he was going to the cross of Calvary. The Lord turned him and said in those searing, scorching words, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now that was a pretty harsh thing to say, but he meant it, and it was true. Satan had caused, had energized, had made Peter to say that. So Satan can use you. Yes, sir. He can use any minister, any layman, if you let him. You let out one bar, pretty soon all the bars will be down too. But look what happened to Peter. After Pentecost, 5,000 one day, 3,000 another day. Peter, the one of whom Christ had said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," was used of God. Now, God can and will use you if you're willing to pay the price. Now, today, there are multitudes of Simon Peter. Multitudes of them. They don't know what they're doing, but they're doing it anyway. They're rebuking the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you were wrong. You've been guilty of a very grave error. You should have left out the last 12 verses of Mark. You should have omitted John 8, 1 to 11. 1 John 5, 7, etc., etc., etc. Now, do you know what that is? Can anyone tell me? Get it. That is next door to the unpardonable sin. Who cares? Average fundamentalist today, who cares? By the way, what's the hottest television show tonight on? Tell me, will you please? For the next 3 hours. I won't ask you to do it, but I dare you to. You won't do it. I've asked a lot of people to do this. Take a piece of paper, will you? This way. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Every day. Over on this side. The time you spend with God and reading the Bible. On this side, the time you wash and garble down the garbage of the television set. Come on, I dare you to. You'd be afraid to. I'm not condemning you for having television sets in every room in the house. For it, I'm good. I can still be your good friend. I'll tell you this. I agree with a minister friend of mine who said he'd rather see a coiled rattlesnake in the front parlor of his home and a television set. And you won't like that. I don't care whether you like it or not. I came here not to tell you what you like to know. You want me to tell you the truth? We're a bunch of hamfats. That's all the trouble with us. Now, if you really believe, I wonder if all of you here have convictions. You just don't have a preference. No. You have a conviction. A conviction that deeply rooted in your heart, put there by the Holy Spirit. That you have now Now, let me read the manuscripts, which is the biggest cop-out anybody could ever have. Whoever invented that was a brain jackass. You'll pardon the expression, but that's the way I feel. And what good does it do now, anyway? But do you believe that we have the very inerrant, inspired Word of God now? Okay. But now what do you do when someone comes and says, well, the scholars tell us that this ought to be out. This ought to be changed. Your answer, there's only one, if you've got any sense about you. Go ahead. You believe the scholars' word. Do so at your own risk. I'm believing God's word. And God has spoken, and I believe it to be the true word of God, and I believe it is my inerrant, inspired authority, my final and absolute authority, above which there is none greater. Because the Lord did that. He made that his final authority, absolute, in his day, and he expects us to do the same thing. So you have conviction, do you? Well, I'm glad to hear that. We'll find out pretty soon who are the men, who are the boys. Because things are all shaping up so fast. Now, if you have those convictions, and you want to do something for the Lord, then you have to do this. And it's dangerous. As a layman? Yes. As a pastor? Yes. Especially. There was a time when I read from the pulpit, recommended from the pulpit, Phillips' translation, and the Living Bible, and an ASV, and I thought it was okay. But finally, I realized I was playing the fool. I had committed a sin, and it was next door to the unpardonable sin. I ask God to forgive me. Now, if you believe that, it's your duty. It's your privilege. It's the object for which God has let you live. To warn people of what's coming. And to tell them, have you a final authority? If you haven't, you better get one. Have you a conviction on this? You better get one. Let them call you fanatical. Let them call you anything they wish. Take it on the chin, ask the Lord to give you a crocodile hide, and keep on going. Some of us are so thin-skinned. We're so afraid we might make enemies. My friend, if you take this attitude as kindly and as Christian as you can, though sometimes it's hard to do when you want to boil over with anger, if you take, you're going to lose friends. You're going to make enemies. Well, so what? Shall we be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Oh, shall we? We've had it so nice, so comfortable. Not for long. You know, I read of a border patrol between Mexico and America. And he made the statement. He said, you might as well try to use a teacup to empty the Atlantic Ocean as to bar these people from coming in. Now, if that's true, I believe it is. And unless God Almighty sends revival through you and through me, we are going to have in this nation the greatest, most terrible bloodbath the world has ever seen, including the French Revolution. It's coming. Who cares? Just so I have my belly full of good food and a television show hot from Broadway, the harder the better. That's the average fundamentalist. I don't believe half the fundamentalists in America ever have been saved. They have shibboleths, they have cliches, they have everything they need outwardly, but their heart is as black as hell. You don't like that? I don't care. I'm telling you the truth. Now, are you prepared to do what God would have you do? Are you? Not for what I'm telling you to do. No. For God has said, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. If he has, then it is up to you and up to me to do the same thing. Are you going to do it? You're going to play the coward. You're going to ask God for the wisdom and the guidance and the restraint that's necessary
to take your stand, and to not only just take your stand, but try to show others who will be shown how wrong they are, and you may have been just as wrong as they were. Because it's we're handling the very word of God. They call us bibliologists. Let them call us that. What in the world do you care anyway? If you know you're right, then stay at it. C-H-O-H-W. Come hell or high water. I'm a man. I'm just put out. Got any questions? Go ahead. Now, if you have any questions, I'll sit down. But you'll be the first one, the first group that I've talked to that didn't have any questions. It'll be unusual. It'll be a curio. Well, go ahead. Got any? Well. Yes? Louder? I didn't write them. I just put them together. Go ahead. I'll tell you why if you want to know. Have you ever heard of a scholarly image? Aha! You have a scholarly image? You don't want that to be tarnished with the Texas receptors. No, no. You got to follow the scholars like sheep and parrot the scholars like parrots and call it the ipsy dixit of God himself. That's what you do. Now, I believe in scholarship when it's based upon facts, not on nebulous, nitwit, good-for-nothing, crazy theories. Transcriptional probability is one of them. Intrinsic probability is another one. Neutral text is another one. Series of intersection is another one. All four of those were posited, plucked out of thin air by Westcott and Hort, and thrust down the throats of those that are in that Jerusalem chamber of 60 of the Revised Version Committee and pass it off to the public. Now that's what we're facing today. This is, the whole thing is summed up in one word, satanic. And unless you are ready and willing with God's help and His grace to face anything. When I say anything, I mean anything. Spelled in capitals and underscored three times. You're going to get it. You're going to lose friends. You're going to make enemies. Just as sure as you sit there and whatever your name is. A friend of mine, I told others, I tell you again, that if you lose friends and you make enemies, the new friends you make, I wouldn't exchange for the old friends that I've made for anything. Let them go. Now, what did you ask me? Did I answer that or didn't I?
Well, the Westcott Hort has such stranglehold on the seminaries.
They sure have.
And when you said it hasn't been a number of scholarly work, why hasn't there been, or why isn't there someone approaching that problem or letting a new book on it? Or?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because there's so many fundamentalists who have studied and they have become scholars and they have images. And if they did that, they would lose their image. I haven't got an image. If I had one, I wouldn't know what to do with it. Really, I haven't. But you got to face that. It's the pride in man. He's too proud to admit he's wrong. You know, that's what I do.
Doc, could I say that there are a number of schools that do stand strictly on the received text. Not a lot of them, but they are, I think, increasing. There are pastors who are presidents of colleges, and they're taking a stand on the King James Version, which, of course, has the underlying received text. Dr. Jack Hiles does that. He takes a stand on the King James Version. Bob Gray down in Florida, Trinity College down there. There's Bruce Cummings down in Massillon, Ohio. There's a school up in the state of Washington, and there are others that are taking that up.
Yes, that's true. I agree with you perfectly. But I wonder how many of those schools do have teachers that sidle up to the Westcott and Hort Greek text and sort of take that along with the other.
and suggest that they take either one. Because you can't, it's hard to rub it out once they get it in. Now, I thank God for Jack Howard and Sandy's taken, but I wonder if all of his professors there really believe it, or they're just doing it because out of expediency. And I hope that all of his professors are standing for the true word of God. But there's so many. Yes? Here, I didn't hear what you said. Will you?
I wondered if they'd be interested to know that which Bible is sponsoring a scholarly book to be written to defend the King James Version by Ted Leedus.
Would they
like to know that we're sponsoring that?
Thank you so much. Yes, and that's almost ready to be published, too. And there are a number of writings of excellent scholars. Ted Leedus is one of them that will be put in that. But even at that, there's so many fundamentalists that are afraid. They're fearful of what it'll do to their image, or in fact, well, I'll tell you this. A good friend of mine in Chicago, remember his name, honey? Anyway, he's a man with a Swedish accent. I've talked to him several times, and he told me this twice. He said, I have access to the top scholars in America, talk with them in their study, and after school, and over in England, too. And he said many of them came to him privately and said, Hoyer, that's what his name is, Gustav Hoyer. Hoyer, you're right. The King James Version, the TR, are nearest to the original manuscripts. Uh-oh. But we dare not say so. If we did, we'll lose our image and we might lose our job. You get it? The fear of man bringeth a snare, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Now you've got your work cut out for you if you're going to take your stand. And if you are loath to lose friends, if you're afraid to make enemies, if you have a thin skin, if you like to be thought well of by everybody, for God's sake, stay out of it! Stay out! God doesn't want you! But I'll tell you what you can do. And say, Lord, your word I want to come first in my life. And I want you to give me a thick crocodile hide of a skin. And I want you to give me a careless indifference as to what people call me or say about me or do to me. Do you know? Your forefathers and mine, they rotted in dungeons, they hung from the gallows, they were burned at the stake. Why? Because they believed in, they taught and preached the King James Version. That could come back again, and don't you believe it, don't you think it couldn't? It could. Anything can happen these days. Any other questions? Did I answer that or didn't I? I don't know. I did not. Oh, my wife back there. I had to answer that one. Yes. Any other?
What is the Westcott-Hort text and what is the Textus Receptus? Could that be described in layman's terms?
Well, I'll tell you. There's a book called The Revision Revised. How many read it? Anybody? One, two, three. Yeah, quite a few of it. It's 400 pages long. It's hard reading. Written by John Burgon, one of the greatest scholars that ever lived. The proof is there if you only want to find it for yourself. And he reviewed the revised version that was overseen by Westcott and Hort and the chairman of that committee. Those three formed a triumvirate. And they forced down the throats of that committee just what Westcott and Hort wanted. Hort was the main speaker. Scribner was on that committee. And if it hadn't been for Scribner, it would have been worse. The revised version would have been worse. I don't know how it could be, but it was. It would have been. But this revision revised, before you read it for yourself, I read it over twice. The second time I read it, I said to myself, and I'll say it to you, that all I can say is that it proved to me that Westcott and Hort were nothing more nor less than two religious mountebanks hell-bent
on destroying the King James Version and the Textus Receptus. They almost did. You remember back there in the days of when Queen Athaliah ruled? When she killed every one of the seed royal but one little baby? And God allowed that baby to be spirited away by the sister of the high priest until he became of age? Now, why did God allow that to happen? To prove his power, that he could do it. Why has God allowed 100 perversions of the Word of God today to find out where you stand? Have you got any guts? That's what I'll use that phrase. Have you got any guts to stand for God, for his Word? You have to ask for it every day, for that courage he'll give it to you. He's bound to. But we're facing a monster, hideous monster. And I believe, too, that it could be true. I think it was a great evangelist, Oswald Smith, said, who was holding on to it, and I believe it, too. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, God is not stymied by apostasy. No, no. With it, when it comes, you'll have opposition and persecution, the like of which you've never seen before. And it's coming faster than you think it is. Now, we need to realize that what we're facing and who we're facing. And as I said, you have to pay the price. Are you willing to pay it? But one of these days, you and I are going to stand before a holy God. Yes, you will. You will. And I don't want to stand there with hanging head and reddened face and guilty conscience because I didn't stand up for his word. But others have done the same thing. Any other questions? Am I through? Yes. He has not published that. I wish he would have done so, but he was a businessman, and he had studied in Hebrew and Greek for 45 years. I saw him in action once. I had to come up for air a number of times while I was listening to him, but he was great. I knew he was a scholar, even though I didn't know what he was talking about. But I got a long-distance call from him in New York City not long ago, and he wanted to know how he was getting along, and I think he said he's going to be out in this vicinity. I hope he does. I'd like to see him again. Oh, what a man, what a man. You got the truth on your side, and you're going to stand for it. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Do you think the scholars would accept his work?
The scholars accept Hoyer's works? No, they won't. Not that is, the fundamentalist scholars will, but even that, they'll do it under the table. They're afraid to lose their image. Unless they impart, as dear Bob Jones Jr. down there in third, and they hold at Westcott and Hort's, at least Custer does, and then they preach from the King James and the pulpit. They're trying to play both sides out at once. You can't do it. Sooner or later, you'll fish cut bait and go back to shore. You sure will. Anyone else? Speak up. Yes, sir.
With the English Revised Version, Christians rejected that.
You want New English Version? Is that it?
No, the
Revised
Version of 1881.
Revised Version, yes.
The Fundamentalists rejected that. The American Standard Version in 1901.
Yep.
Fundamentalists rejected that.
Yep.
But at the same time, Westcott and Hort's text infiltrated the Christian colleges and seminaries.
Exactly so.
How did that happen?
Because Satan knows how to work. And Satan knows that his time is short. And Satan is raising as much uncertainty hell as he can with people, with Christians, with anybody he can get a hold of. And he's causing many people, because they're fearful of what they might lose, their image, their job, that they'll just sort of say, well, Westcott and Hort aren't so bad after all. When they're the worst imaginable. You take the New English Bible, Psalm 22:16, King James, pierced my hands and my feet, Psalm of the Cross. Anybody know here how the New English Bible has it? They hacked off my hands from my face. That is from the pit of hell. And if that's the case, then all you have is a mutilated Savior if he ever came out of the tomb. Do you see what you're facing? Are you getting it? Or are you going home and saying, well, now tell me, I can't wait for that hot, juicy television thing to come on tonight. I'll tell you this, just in passing. You can name every danger in America. Every one of them. Put them all together. They can't even begin to compare with the awful, filthy, foul, rotten, damnable danger of television. Yes, sir.
Dr. Fuller, most everybody that's been around in the last 20 years or so know that the Revised Standard Version 1952 was rejected wholesale.
Yes,
by the fundamentalists.
Yes.
Now, what's the difference in the Revised Standard Version 1952 and the new versions today?
In fact, the new versions today are worse, even worse. Because Scribner was on the Revised Version Committee, and he kept them from doing even worse things than that. So this is what we're facing, gentlemen. You want to crawl out of it? You want to play the coward? Go ahead. But you're going to stand before God Almighty one of these days, and sure as you sit there, yes, you will. I don't want to stand there ashamed. If I can help it. Anybody else? Oh, I'll tell you this. I went to Princeton Seminary. I'm not a scholar. Don't please call me one, because I'm not one. But I've sat down with some of the greatest scholars in this country and abroad. One of them was Robert Dick Wilson. What a man. Just a little fellow with a handlebar mustache. I'll tell you this one about him. He was in class one day. I wasn't there. I wish I had been. And he was on the podium. He used to go down, and this fellow put his finger right under the nose and said, listen, young man, know that you know. He went back. One day he was up there, and all of a sudden he suspended his book. And his trousers fell right to the ground. Didn't faze him a bit. From the eyewitness, he told me, he gathered them together and said, gentlemen, my trousers may fall, but my arguments will stand. Then he said this. This is the icing on the cake. He said, gentlemen, Providence is with me today. The only girl in this class isn't here. Oh, what a man. And that man, you know what he said in class? He said, gentlemen, the things I don't understand in the Bible, and he was a fluent in 45 languages and dialects. The things I don't understand in the Bible, I put down to my own ignorance. That's the safest, the best, the finest thing you could ever do. Who are you? Who am I? Who's anybody? The fellow is spiritual, made a grievous mistake. You're guilty of this, you're guilty of that. Shame on you if you've done it. Even agreed to the scholars what they've done. You agree to them? You're doing just exactly what they did. Anyone else? Come on. Yes, sir.
In the different translations where things have been committed, what heresies have come out of those?
Oh, my sir. Virgin birth. Did it? Oh, I'll give you one. Oh, my, sorry. In the New American Standard Version, in the New Scofield, in the, a number of others, Daniel 3:25, the king looks into the furnace. We threw three men in there. The OSC 4, King James. The form of the four who were like the Son, capital S, of God, capital G. All the others that I mentioned, others too. Form of the fourth was like a son, small s, of the God, plural, small g. The same God that the harlot Jezebel called upon to kill Elijah. You see what they're attacking there? They're attacking the deity of Christ. They're attacking the glorious truth that when you're in the fire, he'll be there. Do you see it? The God's name, do something about it then. Are you going home playing the coward? Up to you. You'll have to pay for it one of these days. Yes, you will. No, you're saved. I know that. I wish to God you'd done something about it. You don't do it now. Somebody else? Steve, you had a question? No. Steve Hubel, did you have a question?
Oh, no, I have a suggestion.
Go ahead, make it.
I think it'd be a good thing if we made available some way, somehow, that every deacon of our churches, one of the outstanding booklets to get them on the right track.
Well, it would be. I'll tell you what I have in mind. I'm praying for it. We've never made a plea for money yet. We're not going to begin now. I'm asking you to pray, if you will. I'm praying that God will send enough money so we can send a copy of which Bible, 350 pages, now in its 10th edition, to every single Protestant minister in America, fundamentalist, modernist, call it what you will. Every rabbi, Jewish rabbi, every Catholic priest, and send them a personal letter. We'll send you a copy of this if you'll do two things. Read it first and tell me your objective evaluation of it. You know, God's still saving Catholic priests, rabbis, too. And there's enough gospel in that which Bible to save them, too. And then I'd like to put a half page in the Wall Street Journal, in the Reader's Digest, New York Times, and have it great big letters that thick. God wrote only one Bible. Then underneath, tell them where you can get the facts. I wish you'd pray for me. I'd like to have it. I don't know how much it'll cost. It'll cost plenty, but it'll be worth. Well, the Reader's Digest, for one page, you pay $100,000. Go on. Yes, sir.
The reason I suggest that the deacons, is because the pastor, they won't read those books.
I know it.
If the deacons awaken,
I know it.
They may reach their pastor.
Yeah. Why the money? I do that, too. I'm not asking for money. Forget it. But I wish you'd ask you to pray for me anyway. Somebody else.
I'd like to tell you something. I was listening to Pastor Swindoll on the radio when he was talking about Daniel.
Yes.
Daniel, and I didn't like him saying that about Nebuchadnezzar. And I agree. You're right. It is the Son of God.
Well, who are you hearing?
Swindoll.
Swindoll.
Yeah.
The man that writes these books.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say?
He said a son of the gods because Nebuchadnezzar was a pagan.
Oh, nuts!
And
why didn't he wake up? I wish you'd hear him tell him so.
And he used two arguments, but I believe there's four. There's four. Nebuchadnezzar had Daniel to tell him the truth. And he also probably had the psalm. Which one is it? The psalm said, my son, and whose name, his name, if you can tell. Mm-hmm. That's.
Well, of course he wants to be in good of the scholars, I suppose, too. The majority of scholars are there, too. I'll tell you this. Wait a minute. Here, hold. Why haven't I been used for many scholars today? The vast majority of scholars claim that Mark 16 was not in the originals. That is a lie from hell. They also claim that John 8, 1 to 11 is not in the originals. 1 John 5, 7, 12, and so on. Okay. Here's a book the Lord allowed me to put out, counterfeit is genuine, Mark 16, John 8, over 200 pages, filled with documented evidence from some of the greatest scholars in the world that they were in the originals. I believe every single verse in the King James Version was in the original. I'm prepared to prove it anytime you want it.